phoning in on Static this evening from home in Yorkshire. It's great to have Sid from Working Men's Club. How are you feeling?
I'm good, man. Good, thanks.
Good to hear. It's been a long year for you, huh? Waiting out to get this Working Men's Club record out, something that was finished months and months ago, and you kind of had to sit on your hands for most of the year, so it must be a big bloody relief, Sid.
Yeah, definitely. It's nice to finally have it out and give it to the world if they want it.
It must have been an especially frustrating experience for you this year, because this album was something you really had to toil over, because I know you didn't have the normal kind of band trajectory in creating it, right? It was a pretty fraught process.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting experience, and thankful for that.
We first played you on our show in February of last year when your debut single, Bad Blood, came out, but despite signing to Heavenly in the wake of that, a whole lot of growing pains befell the band before you even started to make this record, right?
Yeah, I think it was interesting and obviously a very hard time, but, you know, that's not to deny the involvement and what the past members committed and contributed to the band, you know. Without that first single, we wouldn't be here talking to you.
I like the fact that you're saying it was an interesting experience as well, going through all that, Sid. It's a very diplomatic thing, because for you, I mean, you quickly realised that the path you were on, your heart wasn't in it, right?
Yeah, I think it was just, you know, as with any band, there were creative differences, and I guess that led to a fairly extreme reduction in members quite quickly.
Extreme reduction means you were the only one left, right?
Yeah. It's hard to explain that, what went on there, within a few sentences, but I think hopefully it will be for the benefit of everyone that used to be in the group and is now in the group. So,
yeah.
And I think most importantly, it's down to the music. That was where my heart was.
Well, also for you, Sid, there was a belief on your behalf in deconstructing any sort of classic band lineup and sound, right?
Yeah, I think when you go to a studio, you want to make the best record possible, because we hopefully will get to Australia, but we might not ever, you know what I mean? So the recording will reach far further than you might ever go with a band performing it live. So I think once you're in the studio, you've got to really commit to make the best record possible.
And Sid, did things sort of happen super quick for Working Men's Club as well, where you really hadn't had a chance to think about what you might want a debut album to sound like?
Yeah, I think it was kind of, it was all so sudden and such an extreme sort of catapult into the industry. Like, no one expected that. To be fair, on the record labels, they weren't immediate in saying, you need to write an album. It was kind of single at a time, and then it eventually built up to that step of going into the studio and the album was written, you know what I mean? So all credit to them for breaking it down a bit.
Well, credit to the label as well, Sid, when you had to turn around and say to them there was no band left, there was only you,
and
they didn't say see you later, they stuck by you.
Yeah, for sure. I felt kind of indebted to fulfilling, you know, my commitment with the band and to definitely give them a record, and, you know, I wasn't going to just let that go, really.
And Sid, it was the city of Sheffield that really saved Working Men's Club's bacon as well, right?
Yeah, I think I owe a lot to Ross Horton and Mairead and Rob, who joined the band. You know, it's kind of a bit mental, but I do owe a lot to Sheffield, and that's all just stemmed out of a small city in north of England.
So you were kicking around at this studio that Ross Horton, the producer, runs or works at. I mean, he's worked with anybody and everybody from The Fall to Arctic Monkeys, so he must also be able to wrangle any difficult situation. So he was almost like a shoulder to lean on when things were going south.
Yeah, and he still is, I'd say. See him as one of my best friends now, so he's always there to kind of support me, and if I could do the same. But, you know, it's kind of especially important when you're making a record with someone that you trust them and you trust their judgment. It went from being quite a stressful experience being in that studio to being an incredibly relaxed one, and I felt very comfortable going in there and finishing the record with mainly just him and Liam from time to time. It's an important learning curve, but I think I definitely learned a lot from being in a studio, just being around it.
More importantly, Ross was in both At End to X and Fat Truckers, a couple of bands whose sound Working Men's Club really have come to resemble as you've worked on this record too.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've not particularly listened to Ahead to X, but I haven't really liked Fat Chuckers. And I guess if you're working with a person that was Fat Chuckers, you know, you're going to come to resemble it in some sort of way. But if anything, that was almost completely accidental with the songwriting, which Ross realised and found quite funny, you know. But it was really nice to be able to work with someone whose music I really appreciated. It's interesting the way he works and was making drum sounds out of synthesizers. I found that amazing, learning off the back of someone that's obviously kind of a godfather in that kind of music, you know. So it was quite an overwhelming but very pleasant experience.
And Sid, I like to think that you can hear Sheffield in the sound of a lot of the Working Men's Club album as well. A song like Tomorrow has a very Human League vibe about its wonky synth line and deadpan vocal delivery.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was obviously a city with a lot of musical heritage, and I think still has that, so it's nice to be compared to those bands. But at the time, writing it, you're just kind of in his own way, you're just trying to make your own records and you're trying to not think about anyone, and it's nice that I guess those sounds and influences come out almost accidentally.
You also drew on some influences from further afield. It's such a danceable, rhythmic record, and the keyboard line on Valleys almost sounds like William Onyebor.
Yeah, I love all that Afrobeat stuff and what came out of Nigeria, and yeah, I think it's been a massive influence on the record. And He's sort of found his limelight now, hasn't he, with his Western culture, but he's definitely continues to be an underrated influence on, I think, a lot of bands.
And despite this album being constructed in a studio, all the songs still sound like they are designed to be played out live, especially the closing epic song, Angel, which at over 12 minutes already sounds like one of those massive encore tracks, Sid.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of... I really wanted to sort of just go a bit ridiculous with that song, make it a bit of a crowd rock epic. It was the last tune we did on the album. Everyone was quite tired by that point, and Ross had to do a whole drum out for like 13 minutes. So yeah, it was a fun tune to make that. It's a shame we can't play it all live, but it kind of teaches me to get a drummer back in the band, but we'll see if that happens or not.
It's now ironic that despite initially naming the band Working Men's Club after the kind of venues you started out playing, the current incarnation of the band would probably never get a look in at those places now. Sid, you're more likely to be playing, I don't know, an illegal warehouse rave somewhere instead.
Yeah, it's definitely veering into the later night, early morning territory, I think, now, which is something, if we could ever play live again, we hopefully will be able to do.
You might be required to play anywhere and everywhere by 2021, Sid. It might be church fates or something rather than Working Men's Clubs.
Yeah. School business, yeah. We'll play anywhere and everywhere now so we can play.
Well, hopefully we'll have you in Sydney at some point. We need to have Sid in Sydney. It's going to happen one day,
brilliant.
You know?
Yeah.
We might have a listen to a song off the Working Men's Club album right now. We'll play John Cooper Clark, named after...
Hey.
The people's poet, huh?
Yeah. I had a book lying around in my room with his poems, and I'd written that bass line to that tune, and was striving for something to write about lyrically, and I saw that book and started thinking about John Cooper Clarke, and like, I was thinking, how is he still alive? How is he not dead? You know what I mean? He kind of looks so feeble and skinny and... Anyway, so I thought I'd write a song about him eventually dying and, you know, going through the phases of all these characters, 50-foot woman, and he can survive them, but eventually will die one day. Yeah, I just thought it was a funny thing to write about.
I hope you haven't put a hex on him. Maybe he'll have to do a stand-up routine knocking the shit out of you now.
Yeah, that'd be good. Probably wouldn't be that hard either.
All right, it was great to get you on the phone, Sid. It's so good to have this album finally out.
Yeah, to you, man. Thank you.
This is the sound of John Cooper Clarke by Working Men's Club now on Static. Thanks.
Cheers, man.